holy man, but he was obviously a man of prayer. And this man of prayer took the church from being really, really, really sleepy and not a powerful church and not a strong church into a big step up, you know, into really a prayerful church. And his disciples, of course, were the beginning of the new era that came and, of course, was nourished after that by His Holiness Pope Shenouda. And, of course, Pope Carolus was, you know, it's like the introduction, the man that took the person who is dead and gave him life. And His Holiness Pope Shenouda came in a perfect time when he took this person who is alive and give him knowledge and give him understanding and give him growth and so on. Anyways, so the point here is for us as servants, how important a prayer is for us. Or if you want to answer this question, as a servant of God of the church, prayer is one of my duties or my main duty or neither. Think about it, because if you really don't believe in it, then don't put it, don't write it down. But I do believe for us servants that it's my main duty to pray more than to serve. Or never to serve without service that's mingled 1,000% with prayer in the beginning, during, and after. And without prayer, nothing will be done. Don't get me wrong. You can do a lot of things. But there is a difference between efficient and effective. Efficient, when you do a lot of things in a short time and you do them really, really well. Perfect. Perfect service. 100% attendance. Everybody's on time. You ask the kids in the end, did you learn the lesson? Yes. Beautiful small group. Excellent. Looks great, but in the end, is it fruitful? Did people really change? Did it make a difference in their daily life? That is the key. That is the key. And the difference between a regular service and a prayerful service is that effectiveness. Does it reach the goal? Does it bring fruits? Does it take people where they need to be? Does it bring God to people, or it keeps people where they are but keep them busy? That's very important. Prayer for us servants is our job. It's our tool that we use all the time. We have no other tool other than prayer. And it's our power. What made Pope Carolus a powerful man in a time the church was so weak, the country, at that time it was very easy for the country to wipe out the church. To wipe out the church. But because of the prayer of this man, it didn't happen. Why? Because he was so smart and he spoke nice words to the governor, to the president, things like this. No, he was a man of prayer. God wants us to talk to people about Him. That's great. But more importantly, to talk to Him about people. Talk to people about God, but more importantly, talk to God about people. It's the common problem is the human power versus the divine power. Do I serve? Or do I let God serve? Do I give myself to people? Do I give my knowledge to people? Or do I give Him to people? That is the question, and that is the struggle. God wants to use us and to use every one of us. Imagine if God uses all of us in the ministry. We can convert a country if God uses all of us who are here tonight. Not a city, not a church, a country. But if we are used by Him, if our power is His power, we have no power of ourselves, but we go with His power. Look at this verse you have in your outline. This outline is supposed to be double-sided, but imagine that it's double-sided. Printers didn't want to print double-sided today. Okay? So don't say that I like to cut trees. I don't like to cut trees, all right? I'm a green person. So God said, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Again, it's a beautiful verse to put in front of you and to know as a servant. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. You can do a lot of things, but by my spirit, if you take me within you, if you work through me and through my power, we can make great activities, give powerful words. But if it's not powered by the Holy Spirit, it will not bring forth fruits. It will be spectacular, don't get me wrong. And it's good to keep things organized. God is not against us, against that. But it's not really filled with the Spirit, with the presence of God, then it makes no difference. Put a saying here from Inbounds on Prayer. I'm sure most of you have this book. It says, what the church needs today is not more machinery or better, not new organizations or more and novel methods, but men whom the Holy Spirit can use. Men of prayer. Men mighty in prayer. Men or women, yeah. The Holy Spirit does not flow through methods, but through men. He does not come on machinery, but on men. He does not anoint plans, but men. Men of prayer. My main job as a servant is to give God to people. Is to make Him real. To make Him close, present. How can I do that if I'm not really connected to Him? So, my main job is to be a prayerful person, a powerful servant through prayer. Don't get me wrong, that doesn't mean that we don't do our duties. We should definitely do our duties. But it will be hopeless and it will be fruitless if it's done without the spirit of prayer and the power of prayer. Our Lord Jesus Christ Himself was a perfect example of a praying servant. Look at this, how Jesus used to do His quiet time. So He Himself often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. And the following verse, it says, now it came to pass in those days that He went out to the mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. Isn't that amazing? That the Lord Himself, spending all night in prayer. Do you know what the Lord did after that all night prayer? He had an all night prayer because He had something to do right after. You know what it is? Anyone? Huh? I hear the word here that could be right. Huh? Preaching in the morning? No, He did the all night prayer before doing something very important. Huh? Sending the 70. Before choosing, actually, the disciples. Before choosing them and before sending them. Very good. He did that. All night prayer. Isn't that amazing? What does that teach us? Can we do anything without the power of prayer if the Lord Himself did that? And the disciples followed the same example of the Lord. I put these verses here for you. Listen to these verses. They're beautiful. I put them, I underlined and bolded everything, okay? So look at these. Then at 12, some summoned the multitude of disciples and said, it's not desirable that we, the 12 disciples, should leave the word of God and serve tables. Because they used to serve people, their needs, feed people. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. And that's where they chose deacons. We can't serve tables and get food to people and feed people, get 7 men to do this job who are good people, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. But we, the 12, will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. What? Why do you need prayer? You need to work. You need to preach Christianity to all the world. You have a big job to do. You have multitudes. You have new believers. You have baptism every single day. One day you got 3,000 people. Who's going to baptize all of those? There's a lot of work to be done. He said, no. We're going to give ourselves continually, number one, to prayer, even before preaching the ministry of the word. I could take 5 hours to prepare, give a powerful sermon. Very good. Very nice. Everybody's attentive. Everybody liked the word. But the fruits in the end, very little. Verses, 2 words coming from fiery spirit, from the presence of God, that affects everyone. I was reading the life of the saints, one of the saints, and he said, I don't remember anything in Sunday school except one thing. There was a man in the church who was really, really, really poor, but he's cute. He used to come to church. He prays. People sometimes give him food, things like this. He was baraka, a good man. Usually he walks. He walks barefooted, extremely simple. Okay? And the other day, you know how people used to take Sunday school back in Egypt? So they do the general session and then they split into classes, and the classes in the church. So this first grade, second grade, third grade, and all the kids are, in the church and the Sunday school are giving the lessons, and all of a sudden this man comes, hey kids, listen to me. So all the teachers stopped their lessons. And he kept saying, it's so simple. You don't need to waste time. Just love God. God is so sweet. God is so amazing. He's so nice. He's close. And the kids, the saint who wrote these words, he said, I don't remember anything from the Sunday school teacher and whatever he said, but I remember these words of this simple man. Why? He didn't quote anything from the Bible or the fathers of the church. He didn't do any of this. But he was a man of prayer. He had the presence of God. 2 words from him were really powerful and were effective. Got the message. God is so sweet. Take it easy. That's it. Simple. Love God. He's so sweet. Why don't you love him? Isn't he sweet? And then he got the point is, I never imagined that God is really so sweet. He's good. He's nice. Why don't I love him? And I ask myself this question. It got to him. He got the message. Simple message. Without 45 minutes lecture like the one I'm doing right now. Instead of telling you, go pray. And then you take it and you start the life of prayer. I said, we'll give ourselves continually to a prayer and the ministry of the word. You would imagine when Abuna stands on Sunday and say, you know what? No confessions this week. And no appointment this week. And nobody talks to me this week. Because I'm going to spend this week in prayer. I think the people will be upset or happy. Let's say half and half. Half will be upset. Because they want Abuna, they don't want God, right? And other will be happy because they want the prayer. Here, in the end, verse 5, it says, and the saying pleased the whole multitude. Wow. I didn't imagine it's going to please them. I thought this is something, St. Peter himself was serving me food today, and tomorrow he's not going to serve me food. That's bad. I want Peter himself to serve me food. No, it's good. You dedicate yourselves to prayer. And they choose Stephen. Let's look at the people who are going to serve the tables. You think they're not going to be people of prayer? Look at this person. Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. A man of prayer. That's the one who's going to serve the tables. And Philip and the rest, of course, seven men who are great men of prayer. That's how the church is established. I have another example. St. Paul himself, or how I called him, the powerful St. Paul. He asked people to pray for him. And he asked actually in a very sincere manner. He really needed the prayer. He begged for the prayer. Look at these verses that I put here for you. Now I beg you, brethren, through the Lord Jesus Christ and through the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in prayers to God for me. Please, I beg you to pray really, really hard for me. Strive together with me in prayer to God for me, that I may be delivered from those in Judea who do not believe, that my service for Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints. Pray for me that the ministry would go well and the ministry for the poor may be acceptable, that God will accept my ministry. He's begging them. What does that mean? He believes that prayer is more important than his own service. Or else, why would he be begging? Another one here in Ephesians 6. When you told people to pray always with all prayers and supplications in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Pray always, all prayer, supplication, you know, being watchful with all perseverance, a lot of prayer, yeah. A lot of prayer. If we want to just summarize verse 18 and 19, and for me. Pray for yourself and for me. That utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Pray for me that every word that I speak would be like a two-edged sword to go and pierce into the hearer of my words. Pray for me. We can say compliments and say, I need your prayers as a compliment. St. Paul does not compliment anyone. When he says, I need prayer, it means that he needs prayer. And it means he really values that and he wants that. It makes a difference in his ministry. Why prayer is important in the service? I put just some points here for you to remember. Number one, it purifies me and fills me with the Holy Spirit so God can use me. Sometimes we have barriers. Sometimes we have sins, uncleanness that makes the words very empty, very shallow, powerless. So the prayer works in me first, okay? Because God is going to send the power through me. The prayer cleanses the channel so God can send through me. As the saying that I said in the beginning, that God will send not through programs, not through activities, but God will do through men, through people. So God needs to cleanse me first, that I'm prepared to do anything. Number two, it puts God in a charge, not me. Prayed. And things went really well. What do I say in the end? Thank God. Thank you, Lord. Over and over and over and over, God would show us how we fall short. You know, we do 1% and He does the 99%. Make sure to prove that to us every single time we serve. That the success is from him because I prayed. It's him. What if it fails? It takes the burden off of you. I prayed, did my best, didn't work. I'm sure he had other plans. No problem. I don't take it personal. Why? It's on him. It's not on me. Number three, it prepares the heart of the people that we serve, that the ministry may be effective and fruitful. Sometimes you do something and you feel it's a waste of time. It's good. Why? Teaches you a lesson. That's what you can do on your own. But try to go with the power of prayer. God, please, I need you. Cannot do it without you. So empty. I feel like I have nothing to give. Nothing to give. But I rely totally on you tonight. I'm going to find it the best time ever you did it. Why? It's him. It's him. He prepares the heart of the people. He does the work. But he wants good tools to work through them. Electricity would like to flow, but it needs good copper, clean copper, that it goes through it. Good conductors to that it may reach. Number four, it softens the heart of the lost to be ready to come back. Dealing with people who are lost, people who are really far away. These people need Elijah, who brings fire from heaven and consume the sacrifice. Sometimes some people need preaching, but some people need fire from heaven. And we need to be ready to bring this fire from heaven. And we need to learn how to get it. It's not so hard. James said that in his epistle. He said, Elijah was a normal man like us. Elijah wasn't any better than any of us. We're better, far better than Elijah was all what we have. And he prayed a prayer. He said that he prayed a prayer. Why did St. James said that he prayed a prayer? Of course he prayed a prayer. What did he pray? He prayed a prayer. That's what St. James meant to say. يعني صلى حتة صلوة. He prayed a prayer. Shut heaven. How? Prayed a prayer. It could be done. I've seen so many things like this. It's easy, but we need to try it. And we need to rely that this is my power. Elijah didn't go. He doesn't have anyone to go to. He has Ahab the king. He's so evil, and his wife doesn't know where to go. So he went to him. He said, what do I do? And he prayed. And he shut heaven, as you know. St. Paul in the following verses says, I do not cease to pray for you and ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being faithful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Basically, St. Paul is saying, I pray for you that you receive all these things, that you become wise, and you become spiritual, and you may walk according to God's will, and you become good people. How do I do that? I pray for you. I do not cease to pray for you. Beautiful word, huh? I do not cease to pray for you. It's my job. It's my job. My job is not just to prepare something. My job is to pray. Am I responsible for one soul? I pray for that soul. Responsible for some people? I pray for these people. Pray for my friends. should have lists and lists of prayer that the people that I put in front of God. This is my job. We are all, he said, that you are kings and priests. What's the job of the priest? To offer these people to God. Please, remember these people. There is no way, my friends, all these verses about prayers would be there if these prayers were useless. No way. Must be there is a use for these prayers. These prayers do work. But we need to trust in that. How do I know that I trust and these prayers work? That I continue to pray. You know how we don't trust in God and don't trust in prayer? That we stop praying. If you know that something works, you're going to use it all the time. If it works, I'm going to use it. Why do I not use it? Because I don't believe it works. As simple as this. But they do work. And they are so powerful. One day God may give me the time to sit down and write all these miracles that happened in the ministry. Only through prayers. No tools. Nothing to rely on. Except the power of God and the power of prayer. You don't have to be a monk or a priest or a saint in order to pray. These simple prayers are big, are huge in front of God. Especially when you pray for others. These prayers go right away. Goes like this. Maybe your own prayer, they take a lot of detours when you pray for your own self. But when you pray for others, they go straight to God. So powerful. Or else, why in the liturgy we pray for the Pope and the priest and every time I take any excuse to tell, peace be with you, and everybody says, and with your spirit. Any excuse to say that. Why? Because I need that. I bless people, but I need the blessing of people for me. Samuel the prophet was one of them. Then Samuel said a beautiful verse here. Said to the people, do not fear. You have done all this wickedness, yet do not turn aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. This is your job. Do your best. Stop sinning. What's my job? Moreover, as for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. What is Samuel's sin? What's his sin here? If he ceases to pray for the people. They need prayers. And that's his job. Yes, I will teach you the good and right way, but I will teach you 1 hour. But I'll pray for you 23 hours. That's our job. Prayer in action in the life of the servants. Two kinds of prayer that we should always keep in front of us. The personal life of prayer. You should have something called prayer life. So when I ask you, how's your prayer life? You tell me, my prayer life is so and so. It's called the prayer life. It's not a prayer routine. It's not an action. It's a life. Life of prayer. When does it start? When does it end? How does it continue throughout the day? You should have this as a goal. Set number one. Let me tell you something. If you don't set a goal for yourself, a vision, you're never going to reach anything. If you wake up every single day and you just pray like any other day and whenever you have time to pray, never going to grow in the life of prayer. But hopefully you can set a goal. Hopefully at the end of 2008, I can have solid 1 hour prayer every single day. Maybe half an hour in the morning, 15 minutes in the evening, and 15 minutes during the day. I don't want to give you huge goals, you know, and don't set something that you can never accomplish. But set a goal for you. Why not? Because if you don't set a goal for you, you'll never grow in the life of prayer. It's just going to happen whenever you have time. Set a goal for that. Number two, have a system and a schedule for prayer time. If you don't schedule prayer, they will never happen. If you don't set a time for it, and you know exactly what it is, if you don't adjust your alarm clock, you're never going to pray. It's never going to happen. Don't ever think that the devil is going to wake you up in the morning and say, hey, it's time for prayer. He's not going to do that. He's not going to do that. I can tell you so many things about people that actually alarms stop. I'm sure it happened with some of you, but I know people change 3 or 4 alarms because apparently the devil like ruined them or something, or they ruined them without they understand. But, you know, things will put you to sleep. Life will put you to sleep. But you need to do something. You know, put it in your calendar, in your schedule. That time, you know, for that long or whatever, make it real. Make it practical. Make it doable. Have a plan for it. Number three, get help. A lot of times we don't get help in the life of prayer. One of the most amazing things about prayer is when you read about prayer. Really, really, really encourages you. You want to do something? I'll tell you an exercise. Try this, okay? And your money back guaranteed if you buy books about prayer and they don't work, okay? But don't buy bad books. Good books, okay? And I guarantee it will work, or I'm going to get the books from you and give you the price for these books. You read a chapter, not a chapter, a page about prayer before you pray. It will really encourage you to pray. Do something. Make your spiritual food tasty. You know, it's Wednesday, you have to eat full. It's full. There's a difference between full, full بالطحينة بالليمون وبالزيتون وبالحاجات اللي زي كده. You know, it fools you. It fools the fool. You know? And, you know, it might actually taste good. If you can, then do something about it. Pray with people. Use your small group as a support group. When you pray with people, you know, it helps you to pray. When you sing before prayer, it helps you get help. But don't just leave it at this. Have a goal, have a system, get help. In the prayer for ministry, just put these rules before you anytime you serve. Anytime you have to do anything with ministry. Number one, if you prepare for your ministry, whether it's a Sunday school class, a Sunday school lesson, or a small group material or anything like this, pray before, during, and after preparing the service. In the time of preparation, mix it and mingle it with prayer. And pray every day for the people you serve by name, especially those who are in difficult circumstances. Do a list. You have to do it. Why don't you get your BlackBerry or tray out and put this in your tasks, that you do a prayer list. Write this down, please. Do a prayer list. If you don't write it down, it means that you have a prayer list already. If you don't, please have a prayer list. Change this prayer list. Get it ready. Some people give me prayer list for their, you know, group, class, small group, whatever. It's good to pray for these people every single day and give these names to people to pray for them. If you believe that prayers work, then you're going to do that. But if you don't do that, it means that you don't trust in the power of prayer. And of course, pray before, during, and after the service. You're going to do something. Please, God, speak on my behalf. Don't let my foolishness come out. I want your Holy Spirit to guide, to be present, to do everything. And during the talk, please, God, speak on my behalf. And do whatever. Be in that meeting. When your small group goes, you know, when the discussion goes sour, what do you do? And people are like fighting and getting off the subject and things like this. A lot of people are laughing. It means like it happens a lot in small groups. What do you do? Need to pray. Please God, are we going to lose this session? People going to leave without anything? Do something. Even the last 10 minutes, do something about it. Don't let it just pass like this. Just an internal prayer. And after the service, thank you, Lord. It was amazing because your presence wasn't us. It was you. It was you who was present, mingled with prayer, because we are working with Him, through Him, by Him, in Him. And number four, pray with other servants and have prayer meeting for the different services. Have a service. Same, you know, you do meet for administration. Meet for prayer too. Schedule time for prayer. Very effective. And that being said, one word before I leave here. I want you to pray for something. And actually, I've been praying about it. And it's in my mind. And I'm not going to take any step, you know, until God really sends something clear and solid. And it's just a stage of praying right now. But I'm praying for a prayer ministry. But I'm not praying for to have a prayer meeting. I don't want a prayer meeting in the church. We had a prayer meeting before. It was good, but it became routine. Said, no, there's nothing called prayer meeting. But we need prayer ministry that has prayer warriors, their job and their ministry to pray. But I want to tell you something. This ministry, there is someone who is against it 100%, who is the devil. And he is willing to put this church on fire before we do something like this. I know it. Because the thing that's going to put, you know, it's going to pierce him into his heart. So when I do it, when I do it strong, when I do it right, that all the ministries we are doing, they are so powerful. They're going well. And the devil is out of these things through the power of prayer. So pray for that. Pray for me because I'm looking for prayer ministry here in the church. I don't know how. I don't know how God is going to do it. But I'm really praying for it. So pray with me, please. Pray for prayer, isn't it? Pray for prayer. So pray that we become a prayerful church and have a very strong prayer ministry. Okay? And I don't want you after this meeting to come and tell me, I want to be in this meeting. Don't tell me that. I will know for sure that you can't be there. But if you pray about it and you feel like this is something that you would love to do, you know, tell me and we'll see where God leads us from there. Glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.